This is the podcast of Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta. Thanks for listening. If you have a moment, would you rate us or review us on whatever system you're using to listen? We would love to reach more listeners, and ratings and reviews help spread the word. Thanks.
Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. I'm an agent of chaos. Oh, and you know the thing about chaos.
You are listening to WREK Atlanta. And this is Lost in the Stacks, the original Research Library rock and roll radio show. I am Charlie. My co-host is Amit.
So, Charlie, I can't help but notice that instead of one and only...
Are you going off script?
You said original. The original J.R. Crickets?
Or yeah, like not the original, extra crispy. Yeah.
Oh. Is there another Research Library rock and roll radio show?
There are several, it turns out. They like all happened this year. We'll be interviewing them sometime in the future, I'm sure. You've got to find the other radio shows, right, and talk to them.
I like this. This is good. This is fine.
Back to the intro?
Back to the intro.
Okay. I am Charlie. My co-host is Amit.
Hey, everyone.
And we both work at the Georgia Tech Library. We'll just cut all this out later. Fred is on the board.
That's how I'm feeling. Yeah.
Wendy is here with us. A bunch of visitors are in the studio that we'll hear from later. And for the next hour, we've got music and library talk for you. Whichever you're here for, we hope you dig it.
That's right, Charlie. Our show today is called Chaotic Neutral.
No, it's not.
A phrase we stole from Dungeons and Dragons to explain what we thought the library represented in society.
And by calling it Chaotic Neutral, we prove that we are not really hip to how D&D alignments work.
You can find a long thread on our Facebook page where Charlie asked all the D&D librarians to reflect on what is the library's alignment.
That's true.
But the important part for us at Lost in the Stacks is that we thought that the library is a neutral ground.
What do we think it is, Fred?
Neutral ground for unplanned, uncontrolled social change and personal development.
So we're going to talk about neutrality and chaos at the library.
If you, our listeners, want to join the conversation or tell us that we're wrong, the hashtag for this show is LITS314 for Lost in the Stacks episode 314. So feel free to tweet your thoughts, reactions, and character alignments with that hashtag.
Our songs today are also all about chaos and neutrality and how they coexist. It's a delicate balance, like a seesaw.
Oh, that's nice.
So our first song today is about finding that balance, playground style. This is Ride My Seesaw by the Moody Blues, right here on Lost in the Stacks.
Yes.
The Moody Blues with Ride My Seesaw.
You're not laughing now, are you? That was a good song.
It's a great song. Our show today is called Chaotic Neutral, which is a reference to Dungeons and Dragons and its representation of ethical and moral values. They say you can be lawful, neutral, or chaotic, and you can be good, neutral, or evil.
We're using the phrase in an attempt to describe the stance and effect of libraries in a culture, but we've severely misinterpreted the meaning of chaotic neutral in the game. So we'll leave that behind. No more D&D.
Okay, let's switch to World of Warcraft.
Sure. So why would we describe the library as chaotic? Are we describing its operations or its relationship to other organizations? Because when there was a D&D-influenced pile-on on Facebook, which I asked for and I'm glad I got it, there's a lot of, no, the library is clearly lawful. The library is ordered. The library is nothing if it's not cataloged and can make things accessible. But I think where we were coming from, Wendy, you just got a look on your face. Is that, does that work for you? Are you good with that? Or is...
It's all good. It's all good.
Didn't a great man once say a library is a the promise to the future?
Depends on what your definition of great is. But yeah, so if the library to operate and to do what it sets out to do, it must be ordered. It must be based on a series of laws or principles, right? But then instead of thinking about how it works inside, I think, Amit, when you and I were talking about this and we came up with the joke, chaotic neutral, we were thinking about what the library allows, what it can be outside, what a patron can do, that being sort of chaotic. Not, you know, we don't demand anything of our patrons.
Right. The boundaries are fairly broad. I mean, I'm always thinking about the physical space, which is interesting to me, but not certainly not all-encompassing, especially since most people use our library digitally. But that aside, if you go into a library common space, you can kind of do your own thing. You don't have to be quiet.
It's a set of resources that we offer, but we don't say, and do it like this.
Right, right. It's the public sphere.
Yeah.
And where I think this discussion might be headed is, it's the myth of the neutral professional.
Mm.
I mean, I think we're getting into like some political, socio-political stuff here.
Yeah, I don't want to get to neutrality yet. I still want to stick with the chaos thing, because I think that after we talk about what people can do in the public space or what we offer them, it's really, you know, the idea of having all of these ideas, all of this this information resource and this knowledge curation sort of available with as minimal obstacles as possible. Like, certainly a destitute, crazy person cannot really avail themselves of the information in the library. But other than that, we hope that someone who can get to the building or get to the virtual space and can read it and understand it, or, you know, consume this information, can then apply that in whatever way they wish.
Is this kind of like your serendipity thing? Like chaos, and that, you know, it's, there's some element of chance and
there's a little bit of that.
Discovery?
Is this my serendipity thing?
Charlie's serendipity thing, trademarked.
It's more that we imagine that the library is a good thing. The library is a force for good. It educates people. It supplies them with the information they need. They become a better member of a social democracy, a liberal democracy. Small L. This is not conservative versus liberal. But we ignore the fact that one can do whatever they like with the information that they gather, right? They can be a reactionary. They could be an anarchist. They could be an evil person could find in the library all the information they need to do evil, or just to, you know, I don't want to come up with an example because I think it would be a little bit foolish, right? But you can do whatever you like from what you find in the library. And the library does not retroactively take away, you know, what it gives you if you do what it doesn't like. Do you know what I mean? Help me out of this hole, because I'm doing
like
a lot of...
This is why we care about privacy, right? So patrons can seek knowledge as they wish and do with it what they want.
And not feel like they're being judged for the potential of the information they're looking at.
And that option for creating whatever you want with whatever is in the library, though you have to balance that out with how does stuff get into the library? Is it really just like anything that could possibly be of value, or are there, you know, other interests that feed into how things get into the library, you know, especially with electronic resources?
Yeah, and it's collection development too. That's right, Fred. If you think about global warming, you know, I just read a great essay that Fred turned me on to, and it's by Robert Jensen. It's called The Myth of the Neutral Professional. So
you just want to talk about neutrality.
Yeah.
I want to talk about chaos.
But it's the myth part, right? Because if you take that issue, you could create a collection. The traditional library collection would include all viewpoints, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's be doing a great disservice to science and to the liberal democracy.
You're talking about the faux fair and balanced kind of idea.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, a certain number of people do believe that there are lizard people.
Right. So we should have one book about that.
No, we should have the same number of lizard people books as we have the no lizard people books. And then it gets, I don't know. It was Sound and the Fury, was that a lizard person book?
Was it?
But, I mean, that's still the operation of a library and the choices that librarians make. But then even if you say, I'm not going to buy you this book, we still have, let me start that again. Even if a library declines to have a particular resource in its collection, it still has all of the tools to allow you to find that resource in some other way. If it's interlibrary loan, or if it's simply giving internet access to people so they can go find some other stuff, right? You know, and you can go completely against all of the wishes, values, and even orderly collection development of a librarian by using the tools of the library, especially now in the digital age, I think. Yes? No?
I'm just sort of reflecting on this concept of chaos, and it feels like we've been going through a lot of chaos in our library lately because we've been going through a lot of changes, move our collection offsite, change our catalog, like... There is quote-unquote order, but it is feeling pretty chaotic right now. I mean, it'll get sorted out, but, you know, this idea that in creating chaos, that's how libraries evolve their order, sort of feels like that's what's going on.
Right, that there has to be essentially a burning down to have a rebuilding of some kind.
Yeah, or more user input, like folksonomies, crowdsourced metadata, you know, the sort of movement to... add a little more chaos in to the order.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, I'm supposed to wrap up this segment, says here. Yeah, so this is Lost in the Stacks, and we will be back after
Hold
music
Hold on
set,
a second, Fred.
I think.
Hold on, wait.
Sure.
I just love the fact that sometimes we show the bones of how the show works. I like that we introduce a little bit of uncertainty even as we explain how something is created and ordered. It's kind of nice.
It's kind of chaotic.
A little bit.
File this set under Q172.5.C45G54.
The Tender Fruit with Burning Houses. Before that, Casper and the Cookies with Get Out.
Shout out to Future Oak Records.
Yeah. Those were songs about chaos.
Today on Lost in the Stacks, we're talking about two qualities of the library. In the last segment, we explored the idea that the library is part of a chaotic system. In this segment, we wonder if the library is a neutral actor in civilization.
Wendy, you said that the chaotic discussion kind of bothered you, or seemed not... I don't really know what you said. What did you say?
Sorry, my brain is still dead from SAA. I don't remember what I said.
See, I thought I had it right, but then you gave me that look like, what are you talking about? So now I don't know.
Oh my gosh, this is chaos.
SAA, Society for American Archivists. Okay,
yes.
Please proceed.
One of our in-studio guests, who you will meet later, mentioned that it seems a little scary, the idea that a person with bad intent can use the resources of the library as easily as a person with good intent. That does seem to be a kind of neutrality. But also, as someone tweeted today with yesterday with the LitCrib hashtag, there's no such thing as neutrality, right?
Are you saying you can't be neutral on a moving train?
I believe that's the other phrase, yeah. So by saying that we should be neutral, are we actually taking a stance? Are we, you know, demanding a kind of universality of access, which is in its own way a statement of some kind of position? What do you think?
I think so, yeah. You're saying that whatever direction the train is headed, you're fine with. you know, you can just to extend the quote. And if you're not familiar with the quote,
there we go. that's a necessary.
I wasn't
a tributary
until in grad school. Someone looked at me with a steely eye and said, "You can't be neutral on a moving train, Amit." And said, "Oh, okay."
Were they drinking a green tea smoothie at the time?
They probably were.
Smoking clove cigarettes.
Howard Zinn, in 1994, the title of his book was called "You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train," and the idea is that society is, there are these macroeconomic forces at play. What do you love to say the phrase "late capitalism"?
I do.
I love that.
I don't know what it means. I just say it.
Well, just call the train late capitalism.
It's like calling the birds back to the roost. Late capitalism. Late capitalism.
Late capitalism has left the station and is headed toward, you know, I don't know, Timbuktu.
Okay, so late capitalism is an era of capitalism that that has gone past this sort of the Adam Smith invisible hand, right? It has gotten into a place where what we're actually doing is crafting systems that support tenets of capitalism that may or may not be true in laissez-faire style, right? You know, it's the military-industrial entertainment complex, that kind of thing. Frederick Jameson, writing about postmodernism, talks about an era of late capitalism. I'll stop anytime. You just have to interrupt me.
No, I'm enjoying that.
At least two of those points are incorrect, what I just delivered.
So if you're okay with late capitalism, as Charlie's described it, then you can sit in your car on the train and keep going. But if you're not okay with it...
The train being movement of society.
Movement of society, yeah.
The ordered way of how things happen, right?
And librarians, we are taught in library school, you know, be neutral.
In our interactions, right?
Yeah. Show all viewpoints. That's one right. That, you know, that's day one, right? The library respects all viewpoints and attempts to build collections that reflect the views of the community in all its diversity.
Always avoid the jerk move of telling someone like, "Oh, that book is bad for you. Don't read that," or trying to drive reading habits out of shaming or indoctrination.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, that's aside from reader's advisory, which is kind of more of a positive approach. Like, these three books would
assessing
be really
quality,
great.
Yeah. Right? Like, if you're interested, these are the ones that are good, that kind of thing. As opposed to saying, don't be interested in this topic.
So, all that being said, let's use the global warming example. It would be a disservice to collect materials that refute the concept of global warming. It would be a disservice. It would be in the interest of a well-educated society to include books about why global warming deniers are. So, you know, kind of a critique.
Except, however, but wait. There is also the understanding that we have to know what is being created, what is being said, what is being delved into. Even if we stick with your sort of, it needs to, as a service to the greater good, you have to know what arguments are being made by the side that you wish to refute. But then on top of that, if you take your right now seemingly obvious example and flip-flop it, right, and take something that was happening at a time long ago. Let's go with Copernicus, right? So, you know, Earth-centric? What do you call that? It jumped right out of my head.
Geocentric.
The geocentric. Thank you, Wendy. God, I don't know what's wrong with me. The geocentric universe, you know, you would, as a service to right-thinking people, you would avoid collecting the geocentric deniers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Right.
To say, use the global warming metaphor or analogy, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, we've gotten to the point where we're like, no, stop it, right?
Yeah.
But there's always a subject that's going to have, at the moment that it's being debated, you know, a decision you have to make, right?
Yeah, but I got to
get up on that mic.
Look,
get all the way up.
Scientific method. I said that with my finger pointed in the air.
That's right. You're practically wearing a Francis Bacon vest yeah. and declaring the scientific method. You and Neil deGrasse Tyson. Right.
So why dilute something that has some certainty to it and some basis in truth with fiction?
Because fiction being a great example, if you say the canon, right, is all these masters of the form, you know, these six white guys that I have established are the canon, right? And if someone says, I dissent, I believe that this established, this classic, this completely understood reality to be wrong. And the person says, oh, no, there are no, you know, great authors who are women or people of color. But and it's established. Don't bring that fiction into my canon.
The canon did not go through the scientific method. There were no series of studies and analysis done to find.
I agree with you saying that, but I also don't believe that every single librarian, every single person who's going to make choices, has an understanding of the science behind the scientific method. The reason you say that the scientific method has been applied is because someone told you.
Amit does the scientific method. It's his hobby.
We all do it, right? But like, have you taken the graphs and tried? Oh, are you looking at the clock?
I'm looking at the
Is that
clock.
What's going on here? Why don't you go ahead and shut this down, and we'll talk about it later.
We'll be back with more. We'll be back with more on the left side of the hour. Oh my goodness.
Hi, I'm Mandy, the accordion-playing data librarian, and you are listening to Lost in the Stacks on WREK Atlanta.
Our show today is called Chaotic Neutral, and in the spirit of one thing not following the other, I'd like to introduce two of our friends from out of town, Frederick and Jacob. Frederick, say hi first.
Hey there, Charlie.
Hey, Jacob.
Hello.
Oh, let me get you up on that mic.
Here we are.
There we go. You guys are down from?
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for the?
Athens Pop Fest.
There you go. I'm slowly leading you all into comfort. You need to get up on the mic too. I can see this sort of, I don't like being on the radio kind of feeling that you both are having.
Enough
there we go. That's perfect. Why are you all down Georgia way for the Athens Pop Fest?
To watch a Lecky Bass.
there's no business to this at all.
Oh, right.
Well, Charlie, thank you for allowing us to be here.
Yeah, this is your second time on the show. It was telephonic first time. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're here. We are Future Oak. So we are here to support some friends of ours at the Athens Pop Fest.
In fact, I'm so lucky. I have these two 7 inches, Casper and the Cookies, Mezzanine, and how do you say that again?
A Lecky Bass.
I don't know. No, that doesn't check out for me, but I'll believe you. a couple of 7 inches that were released by Future Oak Record Company in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You guys do small, intimate releases.
Yes.
And Jacob, we just have a little more time left here. Tell me exactly what you did to make these records.
So Frederick taught me how to run a lathe cutting machine. And the process is pretty complex, but you put a record on this turntable that's hooked up to a lathe, and the audio is sort of fed through, and it just cuts away all of the plastic, and you're left with the song.
And you listened to the song and watched it be carved into a piece of plastic?
The vinyl.
And so you watched these records get cut.
Yeah, so many times. 50 times each, yeah.
Yeah. Over and over.
Amit, would you say that is the material oomph?
That doesn't get oomphier than that. That's right in the heart of oomph.
Frederick, if people want to find out more about Future Oak and be like, why are these guys on here? What can they do?
Cool. You can connect with us on any form of social media. I think we're on all the big three, at least. We have a webpage at futureoakrecords.com. I think we're at Future Oak on one thing, maybe at Future Oak Record Co. on another. You'll find us. Just
And you're walking around Athens tonight, is that right?
Yeah, I'll be around. We'll be around for the next 2 days. So catch us at the Alecki Bass Show. That's Saturday, 9:30, I believe they play at the Georgia Theater.
All right. I think we've done all that we can here. Fred, why don't you file this next weird set under Z716.4.Q47.
Neutral Ground by Seawolf, a song about neutrality.
As opposed to old-fashioned neutrality?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Thank you, Fred. You are the best straight man that a man ever had. Today we're talking about the library as a resource and an actor in culture, in civilization, and we've been asking ourselves, are we for chaos? Are we for order? Are we neutral? Do we want to be good? Do we want to be bad? Is it not our fault? Are we just drawn that way? And to finish off this conversation, let's ask why we wanted to know in the first place. Isn't the library and archives, Wendy, we keep leaving you out and we should not, aren't they different things to everybody? Do we have to take stances? Are we supposed to be doing something else? And Wendy, when we were off air, you said something deeply problematic to the argument that Amit and I were having earlier.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about the library broadly construed, often that includes a little thing called an archive.
Just a tiny little piece of the whole thing.
If you're talking about collections, you were really talking about like published, vetted, you know, authoritative, respectable sources. But then when it comes to collection development and archives, I mean, our mission is to document whatever our collecting scope is. But and I remember when we had Morna Gerard on the show and she was saying, like, I'm an archivist, we don't make judgments. I think, you know, that to a certain extent is a fallacy, but it's also sort of an ideal that we want to be parties that collect passively or actively a broad spectrum that represents history, what's going on in the current moment, what may be important in the future. So if you're talking about global warming, perhaps we collect all perspectives that are present in our communities that speak to our collecting scopes, whether or not they are scientifically valid.
Since we're using global warming as a sort of organizing analogy, if you were to collect someone's personal papers, someone, you know, an important person, would you go through and remove any instances where they talk about global warming? They wonder if it's a hoax or if they deny it just in their diary, right? You wouldn't. You can't go and, I guess, would that be bolderize? Or does that have to be when it's purient content? You can't censor the papers you collect, right, that when they're in your scope. Can you define that very quickly? Like, how does an archives define a scope?
Yeah, I mean, well, most archives have a collection development policy that outlines what is in scope for their collecting area. So Georgia Tech, we collect the history of the university as well as specific special collections areas. And then archives work together collaboratively to ensure that they're not duplicating efforts and collections go where they can be most accessible. That's sort of an ideal. But yeah, there is this thought that, you know, in archives, there's a lot of really unpleasant material and things that you might have an instinct to destroy or redact or say that's invalid. But yeah. There's power in keeping those things.
Yeah, as primary source materials. And maybe that's where in seeking to analyze their erroneous claims, the erroneous anti-scientific or unscientific.
You're still, you're very much in the research library place, you know, and you are thinking about a scientific community.
I need to spend more time in archives. I feel like I default to the research collection, but...
missing out. Fred, go ahead.
Well, we were talking about collections a lot, and that's an important part of this new trend, but it's also everything else about the services. And I'll use the Georgia Tech Library as an example. You know, we're going to have data visualization, we're going to have 3D printing, and, you know, kind of our mindset about that is that anybody that is in our community of users can come in and use that. But, and that's like the neutral aspect of it. But deciding to have those things is not necessarily a neutral decision. Like, what does it mean when we decide that we need 3D printing as opposed to,
especially when there's a cost to getting the 3D printing, both in space and in, you know, oh, well, if there's a budget item for 3D printers, then that does mean that something else is not going to get bought. Something else is not going to be put in that space, right? And there's the easy thing, like, we're clearly not going to buy a Frogger machine. Oh, wait.
What?
Or are we?
Little free Tetris machine.
Yeah. So, like, RetroTech, you know, RetroTech, the RetroTech lab is the brainchild of Wendy and some other folks. And it is built so that people can use older tech and glean the information from it and sort of help me out here, Wendy.
Yeah, to see that technology has a history and a present as well as a future and startups and innovation and et cetera. But yeah, I agree that the decision to make that service is an argument in itself. It's a stance right. That we think the history of technology is important here at Georgia Tech and in general to libraries. And even the metadata we use to describe what we're doing is inherently biased and an argument.
And we literally moved another service out of the space that the RetroTech lab inhabits. You know, originally, and I'll gloss over some history. Originally, it was a originally it was the dean's office, but then it was a presentation rehearsal room. And we made a choice. It's going to be more important to provide this RetroTech service than it is to provide a venue for practicing presentations, right? Just, and not in life, but in this library, right?
Yeah, I'm going to use another phrase that you all know about, data-driven. I hear tell that you guys talked about data-driven.
Yeah, we missed you when we were talking about how that sucks.
So just raising that because the presentation rehearsal studio had lots of users, and so they built four of them in the adjoining Clough Commons.
Yeah, and that was the point I was making, is that it wasn't even like, oh, this is not a good thing. This is not a good thing for us. We're going to make a different, we're going to use this space for a different purpose.
And fortunately, the technology that was being used to practice presentations in there is actually retro now. So it made it a pretty easy transition.
I mean, so it's very hard to summarize all this. We're headed to the end of the segment, but you know, have we declared ourselves neutral? Have we declared ourselves chaotic? Have we declared ourselves the other way? We're talking about certainly the workings within ourselves, within the library as an organization, as a cultural institution, as a place of business. But how much thought have we given to what sort of the arcs of effect are that we have, what the influence we have upon our patrons and other other organizations and entities in our system? Is that another show? Is there a way, Amit?
I think whenever you say, is that another show, it ends up being another show.
So that's another show. We'll have to figure out how to talk about that.
We've been talking about chaos and neutrality on Lost in the Stacks today, and it's time to play some music to put everything in perspective.
File this set under NA1.B15.
That was I'll Become Everything by Nick Jaina, a song about incorporating the best of all traits.
Charlie, what is going on at the library next week?
We offer you almost everything you need to introduce a complication into the master plan, to destabilize your intellectual order, to allow a little anarchy in the nation state of your consciousness. And we won't judge. Judgment is for suckers. We are the Georgia Tech Library, and we are at your service.
Lost in the Stacks is a collaboration between WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library, produced by Amit Doshi, Charlie Bennett, Wendy Hagenmeyer, and Fred Rasko.
That's you.
Fred was our engineer today, and our show is brought to you by the Collective, redefining the library conference landscape since 2015.
They are building their program for next year's conference right now, based on the theme, Make It Beautiful, Make It Usable. And you can take part at thelibrarycollective.org.
Legal counsel and the careful flapping of butterfly wings
were provided
by the Burris Intellectual Property Law Group in Atlanta, Georgia.
Special thanks to everyone who corrected us about that chaotic neutral thing, to Frederick and Jacob from Future Oak for dropping in, and thanks, as always, to each and every one of you for listening.
You can hear this show again or get in touch with us at wrek.org/lostinthestacks, and you can find our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or at lostinthestacks.libsyn.com.
Next week on Lost in the Stacks, I think we're going to take a break. We're going to get ready for the fall semester. I'm going to pull some rerun out of the archive. Oh, I might play the Future Oak episode.
It's time for our last song today, and we close with another song from our friends at the Future Oak record label.
This is practically a Future Oak advertisement.
Practically.
Hey, Frederick, come over here real quick. We're going to play some Arlo Aldo. Do you want to explain how that's not actually a dude and that's a band?
Yeah, Arlo Aldo is not the name of the singer. His name is David Manchester. He is a perfect gentleman. He has a great beard and a great family.
Nothing better will ever be said. Amit, take us out.
We've been asking ourselves about the library, how it's been, the shape it's in. So we'll get to our last song and let our last song ask those questions again.
Are you thinking about the global warming thing?
I am.
Do you want to try again? We'll take a mulligan.
I'll take a mulligan. Oh, I love mulligans. We've been asking ourselves about the library, how it's been, the shape it's in. So we'll let our last song ask those questions again. This is Addy by Arlo Aldo, right here on Lost in the Stacks. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Lost in the Stacks from WREK Atlanta and the Georgia Tech Library. Find us online at wrek.org/lostinthestacks to see playlists for old shows, connect with our social media, or get in touch with us.